You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Katie.
Well, hello, Nathan. What a treat to hear you. Hear your beautiful voice up top in the intro like this. What's the special occasion?
Yes, well, we've got a special treat for our listeners today. An episode from our Patreon vault.
Ooh, from the vault. Yes. Okay, so if you were listening to our last episode in our Margaret Beaufort series, we revisited The Princess in the Tower. And we figured we would bring back one of our Patreon episodes way back when in that magical year of 2020.
Yeah, right. So grab a drink and get ready for the drama, mama.
And hey, if you are just joining us, if this is your very first Queens Podcast episode, welcome. But do be warned that explicit rating is there for a reason. We curse like sailors.
So if that's not your thing, this is not gonna be the fucking show for you.
Cheers, bitches! Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queens Podcast, the show about badass women in history. Nathan.
Katie, guess what we're going to be doing today?
We're going to be talking about some princes, maybe? Am I on the right track?
Okay. And there's this big thing that's really tall and small, and it's at the edge of a tap. Oh, almost said it. You
said, if this was catchphrase, you'd already be out.
Bang! We lost. I suck at catchphrase. Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. If you haven't figured out yet, today we are talking about the centuries-old mystery of, drumroll please,
Princes in the Tower.
The Princes in the Tower. Oh, my gosh. I love going down this rabbit hole. It's a really sad source material. Oh my God, the conspiracy theories.
Yes, this is a rabbit hole of rabbit holes for the history nerds, really, in my opinion.
Yes. And
because it's like the opinion has slowly evolved. So, I mean, we're obviously going to get to it in a little bit, but you know, Richard III, you have Henry VII, and then you have like the Duke of Buckingham, but it's evolved over time where it was like, at the beginning, it was like, oh, for sure, Richard III. Now I feel like over time, opinion has slowly started changing to be like, maybe it was Henry VII, and it's just so up and down. There's so many things
Things to talk about, and we're probably not even going to touch on all the theories today. We're probably not going to go down every rabbit hole that we want to, because we have lives.
And this would be a 3-hour episode
There are people that have dedicated their whole careers to Princes in the Tower and still come out going, well, I don't fucking know. So
it's true.
But we're going to touch on what it is, the main theories and the main suspects in the crime of the Princes in of the Tower. So Nathan, why don't you get us started?
Okay, so we know of the Princes of the Tower in our latest episode, Elizabeth of York, and we briefly touched about them in the Elizabeth Woodville episode too. So if you haven't heard those episodes, we're talking about like the War of the Roses time. There's a murder mystery. Princes died in England in a tower.
This story has everything.
Yes. So we're going to try to like solve this murder mystery, and we're going to basically put people on trial, and we're going to call it chilling or killing.
I love it.
So if they're guilty of the crime, or you think that they were an accessory or knew anything about the crime, we say they were killing. If we think they were innocent, we say they were just chilling.
Yeah. So let's try to reduce over 30 years of the Wars of the Roses into a snippet. Let's try.
Yeah, because again, this is another thing that you could probably spend your whole life of research on.
So basically, if you're brand new, just stepping into this, the whole Wars of the Roses comes down to there's this one dynasty in England called the Plantagenets. They had been ruling England for over 300 years. And then there's two different like cadet branches of the Plantagenet family, the Yorks and the Lancasters, and they're fighting over it.
So in the York family, you have King Ed. And King Ed married Elizabeth Woodville for love. So they had like this super secret ceremony. And it was really quite a scandal because Elizabeth Woodville was considered to be a quote unquote commoner.
Even though her mother had been a duchess, but whatever.
Yeah.
But her father was a commoner. So she was a commoner.
Yeah. So King Ed is super sexy and Elizabeth Woodville is super sexy. And guess what? Super sexy people fuck a lot. That's not to say that two ugly people and ugly and a pretty don't fuck a lot. But these people fuck like fucking rabbits.
They were very into each other in a sexual manner.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the king and queen gave birth to a litter of children. one of them was named Lizzie, Yorkshire Terrier. Well, Lizzie's Elizabeth of York, BT Dubs.
Yeah.
And she also gave birth to ye old heir and a spare, Eddie, which is going to be Edward V, and Richie Rich, which is going to be baby Richard. So, guys, there's like
so many Edwards.
So we're just going to have to get real creative with the names.
Yeah. So let's talk about these princes in the tower. I mean, I feel like a lot of people talk about their disappearances, their possible deaths, but like we don't hear a lot about like who were these kids. So let's kind of do a brief description of the brief lives of these two little boys. Edward V, aka Eddie, like you said, he was born in Westminster Abbey while in sanctuary, November 2nd, 1470. So he's a Scorpio. His dad, King Ed, had been deposed, and so his mother fled to sanctuary while the Wars of the Roses did its thing. About 7 months later, King Ed is reinstated, and Eddie makes his appearance in London as Prince of Wales.
So Prince Eddie is moved to Ludlow Castle because now he's the Prince of Wales. So this is on the border of Wales and England. Haha, makes sense.
Yes.
His mom's brother, Anthony Woodville, was appointed to be his caretaker and like manage his household, pay, you know, all that.
Yeah.
So Anthony was like this really smart guy. So he's not like, I know he's like Elizabeth's brother, which doesn't hurt for getting the job, but he's actually like very, very intelligent.
Yeah. So, but it's important to note how much the old guard royals, all the other dukes and duchesses, they look at the Woodvilles and they're like, who the fuck do these people think they are? Why is, you know, because being the young prince's like protector and like the person that's going to raise them like that is a huge honor. And so like these old school dukes and earls and shit are like, who the fuck is this Woodville guy?
Yeah.
Why
did you pass me up? Because like for the last 100 years, it's been my position that usually, you know, so there's lots of feelings were hurt. People were thumbing noses at people.
A lot of people just really didn't like the Woodvilles. And I don't think it had anything to do with them being bad at the positions they were assigned to or anything. It's just that they're upstarts in their mind.
Yeah. They're like, who's this family? Woody who? Woody Woodpecker? Yeah, they had no idea who it was. But the Woodvilles are working that fucking political magic. Like they are so tight knit and they're sitting there being like, okay, we've got this one shot to make sure that our family line, you know, makes its dynasty, if you will.
Right.
So they're constantly just promoting each other to these super high positions, which again is reason for the other guys who've been there longer to kind of hate them. So Eddie's education, I liked this line that I read. It was like, he was to arise every morning at a convenient hour according to his age. I'm like, well, if I was 16, I'd be like, well, that's not until noon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Convenient hour according to his age. So I'm going to play video games in my room all day. See you later. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's very strict. So right after he'd wake up, he'd attend mass and then he'd have his like studies on virtues, what's right and wrong. And then he'd do the regular reading and writing and history and stuff like that. So King Ed really did his research on the people that he hired for Prince Eddie. Like, he was doing extensive background mm-hmm, checks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously you can't be like a criminal, duh.
Yeah.
But he would look at it and say, you can't even curse, you know, like you can't say anything bad at all or else you don't get the job. So
this is a future king of England. He wants him to be raised by the most well-mannered and well-educated. He is checking those references.
Yeah, me and you would definitely not be able
to not at all.
But Prince Eddie was said to be like really well-mannered, super smart, charming. And I mean, even if he wasn't, I'm pretty sure a royal historian could be like, man, that kid was a fucking dumbass.
Yeah, like, yeah. There's no chronicler going to be like, I met the Prince of Wales today and whoo-wee, what a stinker.
Yeah, right. So Eddie was betrothed as a baby to another famous lady baby, Anne of Brittany.
Richie Rich, little Prince Richard, was born August 17th, 1473. So I believe that is a Leo. He would have been raised more like with his immediate family. Unlike Prince Eddie, he wasn't sent off to his own household. So he would have been raised like with his younger sisters, his mom, maybe like some of his cousins and stuff like that. Just kind of more of less pressure. The younger son had less pressure on him.
Didn't they have like a saying in Bridgerton that was like, you know, the second one gets to have fun, basically?
Yeah, second sons get to have fun, something like that. Yeah. And before the whole Princes in the Tower debacle, he really didn't know his brother Edward, because mm-hmm. Edward pretty much, little Eddie, only came home for like Christmas and Easter, and that was like it. And so they wouldn't have been super close or anything.
They definitely did not have the relationship that maybe him and Elizabeth York may have had. They exactly. were just kind of like, hey, bro, see you once a year.
Right. Bye. Yeah, exactly. Richie Rich was married off at the ripe old age of 4, you know, because he was getting up there in age. Like, it's time to, you know.
That's gotta marry off that
Come on, you can't be a bachelor forever, man. You're almost 5. Let's. And she was a rich heiress, Anne de Mowbray.
Yeah, and there's a picture online of allegedly the wedding.
The portrait from their wedding day. Oh my.
There's two little kids that are obviously teeny tiny. The girl is much tinier. They're both wearing white. The priest is like crouched down, like praying,
whispering
over
their ear, like, come on. And now you say
these. Yes, exactly. And then you have a little dog in the right hand corner who's scratching his ear.
Who let the dog in? Like,
woof, 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 woof. Yes. Who let the dog in? Woof, 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 woof.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, we really don't know. That's about the extent of our knowledge on little baby Richie. We know that he went into Sanctuary, the sequel. The second time that Elizabeth Woodville took a bunch of her kids to Sanctuary, he yeah. went with them and then later was brought to the Tower of London. But yeah, so let's hop from their backstory into their disappearance.
Yeah, so we've got to like set up the story to lead up to the crime, so you kind of get the how everything happened, establish a timeline, basically.
Totally.
So King Ed's health was not good at all. Mm-hmm. So he's like binge drinking and binge eating, which is like the worst night ever.
No, it's not good for him.
Like, there were stories that I read where he would like eat until he threw up and then would eat again. Like right afterwards.
I mean, it is the grandfather of Henry VIII. So
yeah, and is that like really? Is that that's an eating disorder, right?
Just oh yeah, that's that's bulimia. Yeah, yep. Binge eating.
Yeah, basically.
Well, there's binge eating disorder. I don't want to talk about eating disorders.
No, me neither. But King Ed might have had one.
Yes.
And he died whenever he was 40.
So young.
So since history is a bag of dicks in England, the crown obviously doesn't just automatically go to the oldest child, which would be Lizzie York, who's 17 and would be pretty much fully capable to run the country on her own. Could you imagine what life would have been if she would have been the queen?
but she had this vagina thing going on, we can't have that.
But she has a vagina. I mean, all bets are off. She's hysterical.
Her hormones could just kick in, and I don't know, she could behead a lot of people.
looking at you, Henry VIII. anyway, Eddie, Prince Eddie, he's the heir. So he's only 12. And as we've learned in like our past episodes, a 12-year-old usually isn't fit to rule England. Because, I mean, that's like whenever you're in seventh grade. And could you imagine someone in seventh grade ruling England?
Oh, my God, no.
So what you have to do is you have to appoint a regent. And King Ed really liked Game of Thrones, so he called it the Lord Protector of the Realm. And Richard III, who also really liked Game of Thrones, was thrilled and honored to accept the award from his brother, the king. So I hope you know that's how it went down.
Yeah, after all this like Game of Thrones talk, the heir apparent, Eddie, needed to have his coronation because that was just, you know, they would have these huge ceremonies to show the people of London, one, for all the rich people to get out there and like wear their jewels and be fancy, but two, to like show the people of England, like, this is your new king, make them visible. And also to be anointed by God. So it's, these parties had everything, showing off your jewels, saying hi to your people, and a big thumbs up from the big guy. So they head out from Ludlow and start heading to London. And that's probably by horse would have been like a 2 or 3 days journey.
Yeah.
So as soon as they get the news, Anthony Woodville, little Eddie, and Eddie's half older brother, Richard Grey, were like, let's get the show on the road. Richard III and his right hand man, Henry Stafford, Duke of Buckingham, they're like, well, we're going to meet them there. We're going to meet them about halfway. They meet them in a town called Stirling Stratford, April 29th, 1483. And fun side note, whenever we go to England to see Steve's family, Stirling Stratford's like the next town over and it's got lots of bars and restaurants in it. So that's where we always go like out when we go meet up with his friends for drinks. And there's a plaque. I have a picture on my Instagram of me in front of the plaque that's like something like ye old kidnapping or something like that. But
I'm sure that's exactly,
that's like exactly what it says. Yeah. Richard meets up with Anthony and Eddie and Sir Richard Grey and basically has Anthony and Sir Richard arrested for treason for like...
I found that so crazy. It was like they meet up and they actually stayed the night at where they were. And, you know, Richard's like, hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, like they had dinner together. Nothing was wrong. And then they literally wake up the next morning. He's like, I'm going to have to put you under arrest. And they're like, what the fuck? We just were having fun last night. Why couldn't you have told me this last night?
He claims that Anthony Woodville and Richard Grey were like plotting something against the young king. What? Like...
That is some QAnon bullshit.
I mean, these two guys have basically raised the king. Mm-hmm. And like, if they're plotting to hurt him or anything, there goes all their power. Like, why? And also, they probably love him as a close relation who just raised him.
Right? I don't.
I don't think the Woodville, I don't think Anthony Woodville or Richard Grey were doing anything nefarious whatsoever. And also, Prince Eddie doesn't know his uncle Richard like he knows them.
Yeah, you know? that was something that was really like he it's not like he saw, you know, Uncle Dick Richard III every like Christmas and Easter like he saw his brother. He never saw him.
No, like they probably met before at some point, but they didn't have a relationship. So how scared must you be being this little 12-year-old kid already probably freaked out that you got to go be king now, and like the only people you trust have just been arrested for allegedly harming you?
So I was doing research on this and I found it that at this point Prince Eddie starts complaining about his health and he starts, so I mean it could legitimately be that he has health problems, mm-hmm. but it also could be that stress manifesting itself as a health issue, you know what I mean? Like, because that is a possibility. We know stress can cause a lot of problems and make things worse on any sort of illness that you may already have.
You could give yourself an ulcer from stressing out too much. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really found it interesting that, you know, he could start complaining about physical ailments around this time. And so he was all clearly under stress, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So this was a bold move. Like, you legit just had the Dowager Queen's brother and son arrested.
Right.
So obviously Dowager Queen Elizabeth Woodville is like GTFOing and heads back to Sanctuary with her daughters and Prince Richie Rich.
Get thee to a sanctuary. Yes, ma'am.
Good old Uncle Dick, he's Richard III, says that he's simply, you know, just, I'm just escorting the next king to safety because we got to get back to London, you know. I'll keep him in the Tower of London. It's kind of customary to do that just to keep him safe before his coronation. And just kind of interesting note, this isn't like the Tower of London isn't what it was, like that bad omen that we think of it as today.
Right. Like, now, like ever since like Anne Boleyn, we think, oh, you've been sent to the Tower of London. You're waiting your trial. It was like people stayed there before their coronations. That was kind of normal.
Yeah. And it was like, it was a nice place to go. Like it was guarded. You made sure that it was very safe. Like it wasn't, I mean, I'm sure that they did have prisoners there, but it wasn't synonymous. Primarily a prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I looked it up online and there's like royal apartments mm-hmm. and you know, they're pretty bougie for that time. You know, they're really nice apartments for that time. Totally. So Richard escorted Eddie there. You know, whenever he's escorting him there, it wouldn't have raised too many eyebrows, basically.
Right. I mean, they may have been like, did he really just have the king's brother arrested and eventually beheaded?
Yeah.
Eddie's coronation keeps getting pushed back. Like first it's supposed to be May 4th because the King Edward IV died in April. So first, the coronation was supposed to be in May. And then, oh, you know what? We're going to push it back to end of June. And then that's when everything just kind of, the shit hits the rose-colored fan.
Yes. Eddie makes it to the Tower of London on May 19th. So he just like chills there for about a month before he was joined by his brother, Richie Rich. And so again, like these two would barely know each other, but they're about to have plenty of time to get to know each other.
Well, like, so what Richard said was, is he said, well, the prince was asking for his brother because he was lonely. And that doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Because like you said, yeah. They didn't. Because, I mean, Edward would have had other children of the nobility that he was raised with in Ludlow. So he would have probably been asking for one of his friends, you know, one of his classmates or something, not his baby brother who he barely knew, but
who's next in line to the throne.
Yeah. It's very convenient for anybody that might want to do away with the sons of Edward IV to put them both in the same place.
Yes. So like Richard has these two sons. He's got a lot of power now. Mm. So Richard III ended up to get Richie Rich. He surrounds Westminster Abbey and like he sends like a little text to Elizabeth Woodville's like, hey,
You up?
And he's like, you should send Richie Rich down. We need to go take care of him and send him with his brother. And Elizabeth's like, I don't think so. Like, I'm 99.99% sure. She's like, hell fucking no.
Yeah.
But she also doesn't have much power because, like, Richard, Uncle Dick, has the castle surrounded. You know, her husband, back in the day, even though someone claimed sanctuary, her husband just barged on in and got him and killed him.
Yeah.
So, technically, Uncle Dick could just barge on in, grab her, kill her, and take her children. All of her children.
First of all, there's this whole conspiracy that Elizabeth Woodville switched Richard out with some, like, little boy that was just, like, hanging out in sanctuary as well or something and said, yeah, this is baby Richard. Uncle Dick wouldn't have known the difference because he wasn't super close with the children of Edward IV. But that's very convenient. But then another thing is people who are Richard III advocates are like, if she really thought that her sons were in danger with Richard III, she wouldn't have sent baby Richie Rich. But he's already killed one of her sons when her grayson and her brother Woodville got sent to prison. They got executed. They were executed by this time. So she knows he's capable of killing one of her sons. I feel like people forget about her gray kid, her gray boys. That
he's fully capable.
Richard's already killed one of her children. So
yeah, so
he is not sending him off being like, okay, safekeeping, do. But I also I also don't think she would have had the means. Or
yeah,
to switch him out.
Yeah, I really don't think she had the means at that point. And it's alleged, well, it's not alleged, but Uncle Dick ended up sending the same preacher bishop that married King Ed and Elizabeth Woodville. And that preacher's like, I promise nothing's going to happen bad to Richie Rich. And that's whenever she's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So she was reluctant.
Yeah.
She was reluctant. Like she did not want to do it.
And also he had Westminster Abbey surrounded by... armed forces. So.
So that's a big convenient thing. Too. Yeah. So needless to say, Richie Rich joins his brother in the Tower of London on June 16th, 1483. And hold on to your crowns and clutch your pearls, bitches. Shit's about to get ugly.
Oh, no.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
On June 22nd, there's a sermon preached at St. Paul's, and there's a preacher that claims that Uncle Dick is actually the rightful heir to the throne.
Que pasa?
Yeah. So the claim is that Edward IV was apparently married to a woman named Lady Eleanor Butler, who was already technically dead. But we're just gonna we're gonna gloss over that. And that means that whenever he married Elizabeth Woodville, he was, you know, like committing bigamy. So therefore the marriage between him and Elizabeth Woodville was null and void, and all of the kids of that marriage were illegitimate.
This is almost certainly bullshit that Richard's faction made up. All of Uncle Dick's supporters were saying this is true. There are several reasons why most historians believe this is bullshit. One of which is this Eleanor Butler lady, like, never came forward and said anything about their marriage. Maybe she was embarrassed that she had been like bamboozled or whatever. Secondly, though, her family were staunch York supporters, and like her brothers and cousins and stuff all fought with Edward in the Wars of the Roses. So it's like, why would they do that if they were like, he had like wronged their cousin or sister or whatever?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, because, you know, he ditched Eleanor, they should have a grudge against him. That makes sense. Like, why would they follow him after that?
And then also, it doesn't even fucking matter because Eleanor Butler died in 1468 and Eddie was born in 1470. So at this point, one wife. Like, little baby Eddie was born 2 years after Butler died, so...
Yeah, I think it's, like, it's really funny, like, how over the years people have tried to refurbish Richard III's reputation, if you will. It's like, and they're starting to try to reverse things.
I do believe he's a very complex character. Like I've said before, I don't cosign to this idea of him from the Shakespeare play, where he's just a deformed, evil...
Yeah.
Out to kill everybody type person. And he did do some good things in his life. So, but I mean, the people that are like just now, like, he was a saint. I'm like, well,
that's debatable.
And like, I'll get to that more in a minute.
I think what's interesting about his image, like the way that he looked, you have to remember that the reason I think that William Shakespeare painted him as a deformed person is because back in the day, if you were or had some malady or something that looked wrong with you, they thought that it was because you were a bad spirit.
Ugly on the inside, ugly on the outside.
Yeah so they were super not cash money.
No, that's not cool.
So they claimed that Elizabeth Woodville aligned herself with Henry Tudor, which may happen later. And the reason being is to re-legitimize her kids, you know, if Henry Tudor wins the crown, basically.
Yeah.
So the reason Uncle Dick was painted as the bad guy was because after the Battle of Bosworth, history is written by all these pro-Tudor historians. So there's always that argument, which I think is interesting, is that like people say that because the Tudors won, that's why Richard III is painted so bad. So I always have to play devil's advocate, even though I clearly think Richard III was guilty. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say, you know, at Queen's Podcast, we always say history's a bag of dicks. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what this is. It's like history's written by the person that wins the battle.
Yeah.
And it's typically a man, and it's typically, you know, the winner. And
right.
It makes me think of like Boudicca and Cleopatra and all of those people, you know.
Right. The only accounts we have from them are like after they're dead, mainly from people on the other side. And also, I don't think William Shakespeare ever meant for his play to be taken as a historical fact. It's entertainment. I mean, he knew that he was writing something that would be popular and that had real people, but I don't think he was a historian. And secondly, first person to like really write down the story that that Richard III had them smothered with pillows was Thomas More. Mm-hmm. Thomas More would have been about 3 or 4 years old when the princes went missing. So it just reminds me of like, yeah, he's writing what he's heard from court and stuff like that. But it's like a game of telephone, you know, like more and more gets added onto it as it gets handed down. So,
and the people in court for Sir Thomas More were all Tudors at the time. So that's who that's all his history was from, his Tudor family.
Right.
So to add to this was an accusation of treason by Uncle Dick. So he accused William, the Lord of Hastings, of conspiring with the Woodville. So he's literally like trying to get everyone arrested, thrown away so that he can take the crown. So Lord Hastings was a hardcore Yorkist. Like he would be the one that's breeding all the Yorkies and just like handing them out to everyone at church. And he would hand them to King Ed and be like, here, you know, you're my BFF. Here's a Yorkie. So.
No, King Ed and Lord Hastings were like from back in like old college drinking buddies. Like they were like fucking tight. But as happens sometimes, the college drinking buddy doesn't like his best friend's wife. And so even though they remained tight, as soon as Eddie died, Hastings at first was sort of like, yeah, let's get all these fucking Woodvilles out of here.
It was again, that older royalty that's like, who, these Woodvilles, would he eat the wood what?
Yeah, like maybe I would have been the one to raise the young prince if Anthony Woodville hadn't been around, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so the fact that Hastings had a falling out with Richard, a lot of people point to that as like, well, he found out what he did to Edward's sons and he was executed to shut him up.
Yeah. So basically, even though Lord Hastings hated Elizabeth Woodville and this new family, he literally changed his mind whenever Uncle Dick took hold of Prince Eddie. Mm-hmm. Immediately, whenever Prince Eddie was taken under Uncle Dick's control, Lord Hastings like, never mind. Hey, Elizabeth Woodville, you remember that whole beef that I had with you? Let's just put that in the past. So the Woodvilles, you know, they're this brand new royal family and in a very heated family feud. Treason, survey says.
Ding, 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 ding. So Uncle Dick was crowned King of England as Richard III. And like we said in the Elizabeth York episode, he's just like, oh, little old me. Little old me. You want me as king? And they're like, yeah, everybody else is gone. Like,
it reminds me of like Stuart from Mad TV being like, no. Like kicking his foot out.
No, I don't want the crown. And then reluctantly, like, oh, okay, I guess.
All right. Look what I can do.
Yeah. Look what I can do. I'm king. The sad thing is probably a lot of our listeners are too young to remember Stuart from Mad TV. They're going to be like, what?
Look it up. Please look it up. So Lord Protector of the Realm, Uncle Dick, now King Uncle Dick of England, is crowned on June 26th of 1483. So this is what happened. This is when things get sketchy because the boys are like never seen after June 16th, 1483. So the last time that everybody saw them, they were playing in the gardens at the Tower of London together. And that's June 16th. And then after that, they were never heard from again.
Yeah.
So Uncle Dick claims that he moved them to the inner apartments of the Tower of London to keep them more safe. Trying to say like, I don't want anybody to come and try to take them and steal them away because, you know, Henry VII over there might want to overthrow us. So he's kind of using that as like a shadow to hide it underneath.
Right. So those are the victims, and that's how they got to where they were. So the crime, this could be a simple missing persons case.
Yeah, like kind of like what you said earlier, maybe Elizabeth Woodville switched one of the kids out.
Right? Maybe they escaped. Many people claim, and we'll talk about it in our second Elizabeth Woodville or second Elizabeth of York episode a little bit more. A lot of people claimed to be Prince Richie Rich into Henry VII's reign. So, you know, maybe somebody did switch out one of like them with imposters. One of those imposters went so far as like trying to stage an uprising, Perkin Warbeck, which we will definitely talk about in a later episode. But I feel like most historians agree that pretenders are actually Prince Richie, except for Philippa Gregory, because she does not count. Like when people are like, well, I read that blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you read that in a novel.
Yeah, that's not a real thing.
Though I do want to say the White Princess book is very entertaining. So don't want to say don't read it if you like historical fiction.
Yeah, I know that's true.
But in that, big basis of it is that Elizabeth York's brother comes back and she has this turmoil and like doesn't want to tell anybody that that's the real Prince of York, because then it would like take her husband off the throne. We're here to tell you no.
No. I mean, but for real, one of the imposters was so good that Henry VII literally had to pay him off and was like, I can't prove that you aren't, so I'm fucked. So it was, then there's also the theory that what if the princes just like died of natural causes? You know, it's back in the day, the mortality rate for children is a lot higher. What I was alluding to earlier was like how Prince Eddie was like complaining of physical
health issues
problems
early on. Yeah.
Yeah, it was this. He was complaining of jaw pain, which could be a legitimate claim. And that would indicate a jaw infection, which is fatal in the 15th century. Like, right. you don't get past that. So what if Prince Eddie dies on Uncle Dick's watch and Uncle Dick's like, oh my God, what the fuck do I do? Oh my God. Right. Because Prince Eddie allegedly was like saying prayers like it was the end of his life. But you could say he's doing that because he's afraid that Uncle Dick's going to kill him.
Yeah,
you know,
they're good.
Also switch that and say, you know, was it because he was sick? So,
or maybe just
that.
Because he's also raised in a time when you prayed all the fucking time. Like, they were very religious back then. I don't completely rule out the fact that maybe they died of natural causes. Maybe they caught a cold and then the other's brother caught the cold and they died of natural causes. And the Richard establishment was afraid to make an announcement because of all the conspiracies that could have come from it.
So people, even if it was of natural causes, people would still say, well, they wouldn't have died if you wouldn't have taken them to the Tower of London.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there was an attempted, like almost uprising, a coup to rescue the princes around. And I think this is a pivotal moment in my terms of theory of what happened. So around July of 1483, there's some Yorkie loyalists that attempted to rescue the princes in the Tower. So typically these sort of royal rescue attempts mean you just like paid off one of the guards and the guards was like, hey, I'm gonna let you go, run. There's someone waiting for you down there, run. So it was well documented that this plan was completely foiled, but you know, we did mention in our Elizabeth York episode that it was possible maybe there was like a relocation done. Mm-hmm. And during this relocation that one of the princes or both of the princes die. But like I said earlier, Uncle Dick wouldn't say anything because it would still make him look like the bad guy.
Exactly.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
Hello, everyone. You may recognize me as Gabby from the History of Everything podcast.
And my name is Brenna, and you don't recognize me from anything yet.
Together, we're two scientists who explore all of the weird little questions and conspiracies of the universe in our new podcast, Mystery of Everything. Everything has an explanation.
We hope.
But that is what we're here to figure out. We will dive into the science behind many popular conspiracy theories, such as vaccines causing autism, flat earth theory, and was the moon landing fake? And if so, why the heck would anyone even do that?
But it's not just conspiracies. There's a lot of cool mysteries that we will attempt to use science to explain, such as near-death experiences, what made the Vikings go berserk, and can I control my co-host with MK Ultra?
Wait, what? Anyway, make sure to check out the Mystery of Everything podcast everywhere where you find your podcasts.
The other more widely accepted fate is that the princes were murdered by somebody with a motive.
But let's talk to people with motive.
And also, again, we're going to talk about some of the main people. There are so many theories. We're just going to hit the highlights, but there are so many theories about the different people. Because honestly, when a little baby boy is disputed to be a king, there's so many people they're going to look and be like, well, if he was dead, I would have this higher up. Or if he came into my care, I would have this higher up. So the possibilities are endless, but let's hit the high notes.
Yeah, we're going to decide which suspects are chilling or killing.
Chilling or killing. I love it.
So obviously we have Richard III, Uncle Dick. Yes. And he's been like historians' prime suspect since the get-go. I mean, Shakespeare's prime suspect. You know, everybody's prime suspect, basically, because he's the last one that had control of the princes.
Right.
So we'll look at kind of what the prosecution side. So if you were prosecuting Richard III, you would be like, hey, they were under control.
They were under his care. I would say Richard III, the reason his prosecution is the most popular still, he had the opportunity, the motive, the means. It just makes the most sense, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew that if he didn't dispose of the princes, there would always be somebody else to claim to be king.
Yeah, there would always be some uprising, right? Back doorstep being like, somebody's like, no, I'm the king. It's like, I got to get rid of these dudes.
Right. Uncle Dick needed both kids eliminated. So he captured Prince Eddie and then pressured Elizabeth Woodville to hand over her son. So two things that just, I mean, are not good looks. And then had the boys declared illegitimate. It just all seems very convenient, you know?
Yeah, and then, like, they're murdered. They go missing, like, days later.
Right.
Actually, I think they went missing before.
Right, maybe, yeah. So a lot of the English public at the time did also think it was Richard, especially the people in London.
I'm imagining like all these like princes photos like pasted on the tabloids.
Like, have you seen me?
did Dick do it? It's like very JonBenet Ramsey.
A lot of people that are Richard III supporters, like, because he's had a bit of like a comeback in the last like decade or so.
I know, it's weird.
But a lot of people will cite that, and like we said, he's not a perfect person and he's not a villain, like 100% the villain either. But he was very popular before he came to London after Edward IV died. He was very popular in the north of England, and because that's where he kind of like ruled as Duke. And he did a lot of good things in like the justice reform, kind of like actually having like trial by jury and stuff like that. And he just really, he wasn't perfect, but he really didn't seem like a super corrupt dude before this.
Yeah, it really wasn't like there was no red flags other than, you know,
until all the red flags. There were no red flags until all of the red flags. Yeah.
So the other funny thing is like there's all these rumors that these boys are like missing. Like, where do they go? They disappeared.
Right.
Richard III could have just brought them out of the Tower of London and been like, here you go. They're still alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why on earth didn't he just bring them out to show that, hey, they're super safe in this super secret place?
Right.
But shortly after, you know, the alleged boy's murder, Uncle Dick's right-hand man, the Duke of Buckingham, leads this revolt against Uncle Dick.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is that the Duke of Buckingham was so pissed off that the king killed these innocent boys that he ended up trying to align with Henry Tudor to get Richard III out of the way.
Right.
So it basically was, you know, him trying to be like, I'm not cool with this. I'm out. Let's turn this over. And Richard just basically foiled this whole overthrow and ended up executing the Duke of Buckingham. So red flags starting to pop up.
Well, the Duke of Buckingham had his own claim to the throne.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to that one.
Yeah.
He's something else.
This theory and this line of thinking, it's like, oh, I was ride or die for you, Richard, until you started killing some babies.
Yeah, right? That might be a reason to stop following somebody.
Right.
Oh, also, did we mention someone actually confessed to killing a princess in the tower?
Allegedly.
Yes. So his name is James Tyrell, and he was a prisoner under King Henry VII. So this is after, you know, Richard III was dead. And Tyrell admits to the crimes, and, you know, he describes that, you know, the bodies were disposed under a staircase in the Tower of London. But keep in mind that Tyrell admitted to this while being tortured. So,
right.
you kind of have to look at that whole false confession thing. I mean, people falsely confess without being tortured.
Right?
So imagine being tortured. Also, James Tyrell didn't have access to the Tower of London. So it's not like he could have just walked right on in and killed the kids. He would have had to...
Somebody would have had to let him in. Somebody would have said, here's the keys to the prince's rooms. Here, you know, he wasn't like some big shot that would have had access.
Which likely would be Uncle Dick, you know,
right?
That called that shot. And then he claimed that Richard III had instructed him to smother the two young princes with their pillows.
That's also probably where, or almost definitely where, Thomas More got his theory, or like the story that he wrote. He took this Tyrell confession as fact and wrote based on that Richard III instructed this Tyrell guy and a couple other guys that he named to go in there and smother them with the pillow. Because like then he also said, and we buried them under the staircase. Well,
yeah.
They found
it's like 1674, right? Like it was way later after his confession. Like it was long after his confession.
They found
the two skeletons.
Right. I don't know why they didn't just go looking for them then and they found them. But the people that inspected the bones in the 1600s said that the tissue connecting the lips would have been torn, which suggests there was a struggle from suffocating. Well, yeah, someone did admit to the crime. There's just so much that left open for interpretation.
And there's a lot of things that honestly didn't check out, and we'll kind of get to that later in terms of this confession. So if you were the defense of Uncle Dick, you would say, you know, like Richard III wasn't even in or by the Tower of London when the boys went missing.
Right.
He was like around touring England. He wasn't anywhere in the vicinity of these kids. So he would not be responsible for killing them. That's what you would say if you were the defense. You know, he's just trying to keep these kids safe because this is the War of the Fucking Roses. And Molly, you in danger, girl.
Right.
So when Uncle Dick went to the boy's mother, Elizabeth Woodville is just like, hey, I'm going to give you my son, Richie Rich. You know, take him, take care of him a little bit. Yeah. So he's saying, yo, I just took care of these kids, you know, and that's just proof that she trusted me and that she believed that her other son was going to be kept alive. And even though Richard III was long dead afterwards, Elizabeth Woodville never formally came out and accused Uncle Dick of their murders, which she could have done. You know.
Right. And then also the whole James Tyrell thing, like you said, he confessed, even though there's like a litany of inconsistencies, you could still say, well, somebody else confessed to this already.
James Tyrell said he said the bones were under the staircase. And then after all of shit, you know, after Henry VII took the throne, a priest went in, took those bones and moved them to somewhere, you know, like close to the family or something like that. And these bones that were found underneath the staircase had velvet with them.
Oh.
And velvet was something that only royalty would have had.
Okay.
But the scientists scientists dug up these bones eventually and they like examined them. The guy is literally like, yeah, they died in 1483. And it's like, can you really like trust
so from in the what 1600s? From what I've read on it is that they were like re-examined in the 30s or the 40s, the 1930s or 40s. Basically, they were just like, yep, this all checks out. These are the princes in the tower, and then put back in Westminster Abbey. What I've read and the podcast I've listened to, they're like, even by the standards of the 1940s, it really wasn't a well-done investigation. And now we know so much more about DNA. They found Richard III and were able to test his bones and like confirm that it's Richard III. But now, yeah, Lizzie too won't let us dig him up. To do it again, which is a shame.
It really is a shame. I think they're Catholic, right?
No. Remember the whole Church of England thing?
We're going to cut that out. So Richard III, to his defense, was also already technically the king and had declared the children of Elizabeth Woodville to be illegitimate. So why would he need to have them killed if they're already out of the line of succession? So that would be his
right.
And plus there's like some other people that could have had motives besides him, like lords and dukes that are like underlying people that knew that, you know, if these princes were out of the way, I could be at a higher position.
Right.
So it could have been one of them. So question remains, Katie, do you think Uncle Dick was chilling or killing?
I think of all of the suspects, Uncle Dick was the most likely to be killing. However, do you remember in our Eleanor of Aquitaine episode when we talked about how Henry II just kind of made a nonchalant, like, who will rid me of this priest? And then his buddies went and killed Thomas Becket, being like, oh, we thought you said who will rid me. We thought that was wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I tend to believe that it was probably something similar with Richard. He was probably like, ugh, my life would be so much easier if these kids were out of the way or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's just got too much motive for me. Yeah. He's got too much power. He has the kids under his control. He would have known everything that they were doing. He's killing. But I get where you're going with the like the off the cuff remark of I wish these kids just would have been gone and did something bad. So I get that. So that's who we're going to talk about next, is who actually took it seriously.
Allegedly.
In my opinion, I think he's the guilty party out of everybody.
Really?
I think he's like the right hand man of King Richard III.
Okay.
And also, if there was someone who got a doctorate from Shady Lady University, it's this guy.
What's this guy's name?
Henry Stafford, the Duke of Buckingham.
Yes.
He was married to Catherine Woodville and was low-key, not so low-key, not happy about it. He was pissed off because he didn't want to marry one of those Woodvilles. They're low-born. And, you know, Catherine Woodville is Elizabeth Woodville's youngest sister.
Catherine and the Duke of Buckingham were married when Catherine was 7 and Henry was 10.
Yeah, so baby.
Baby, baby, babies. He's descendant from a king. I am this royal duke. It is a really high title. I have my own claim to the throne. Why did you marry me to this daughter of a knight, basically?
Yeah, he totally has a claim to the throne, and it's not too far-fetched either. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not like this really far-fetched idea that he could have potentially be the king. He could have been.
Yeah.
He probably would have been one of those people that leaned into Elizabeth Woodville being a witch. You remember how they accused her of that?
Yes, shit? Probably.
He also had the motive. He would just have to dispose of the boys and Uncle Dick in order to potentially claim the throne.
Correct.
So he would have to get rid of all three of them in order to get it, which isn't too far-fetched because it's the War of the Roses.
Yeah. And well, if he got rid of the Princes of the Towers, then he could start spreading the rumor that Uncle Dick did it. And then if Uncle Dick's deposed or something, he's like, hey, I'm also got a claim. So yeah, he definitely had motive.
For fucking sure. And now, I mean, it can be debated on whether or not he acted alone or under the instruction of Richard III. This is where you can say, did he act on his own? Like me and Kitty were saying earlier, where maybe Uncle Dick set off the cuff, hey,
I wish somebody would kill these babies.
Yeah, so maybe this was your guy that did that, took that instruction seriously and actually fucking killed him.
And that if he did, that might also make sense of why him and Richard later have this falling out.
Yeah, and interesting enough, Buckingham was technically in power when Richard III had left tour England. Mm-hmm. So he would have been able to access the Tower of London and people wouldn't have been like, why are you here? Who the fuck are you? He would have been able to access it.
So he's also got the means, the motive, the opportunity as well.
Yeah. So one of the ideas that's floated is that Buckingham is one of the people that hires on James Tyrell to kill
yeah.
the two princes. He also could have hired on a bunch of other people. He probably could have convinced some other lords and barons and such mm-hmm. to maybe commit this crime.
Well, some people think, you know, the Howard family that mm-hmm. Later, like Anne Boleyn's uncle Howard, Duke of Norfolk. Some people believe, because I believe they were like in service to the Buckinghams at the time as like lower nobility. So some people think the Howards did it, like to further Buckingham so that they could then themselves be furthered. And
I mean, there's motive there. There's yeah. you can't say that there's not.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that whenever Uncle Dick comes back from his trip, that's when he and the Duke of Buckingham really start to have a rift. Like they start to not see eye to eye on everything. Remember, these guys have been, you know, they're basically like, I don't know how to describe them. It's like the bad guys. Like you've got your bad guy and the bad guy's henchmen. So like Jafar and the fucking parrot. So they're super mad at each other. And Uncle Dick, he could have been pissed off at them for killing the kids. I mean, that's not a far-fetched idea to be like, I return to the Tower of London and these children are dead. What the fuck did you do? Yeah. And they're saying that, you know, some historians say that this is the reason that there was Buckingham's revolt. Mm-hmm. Now, you can flip that coin and say that Richard III had the kids killed and Buckingham was pissed off at Richard III mm-hmm. and tried to overthrow Richard III for that reason. Yeah. I mean, it's either way you fucking slice it or dice it. Buckingham likely had knowledge that the boys had been murdered, mm-hmm. you know, like I feel like he would have known. So either way, if you believe that he actually helped or didn't help in the murder, he was definitely an accessory or like someone who knew it, but didn't say anything.
But we'll never know because Richard had him accused of treason and beheaded.
Yep. Treason. Survey says.
Survey treason. Ding, 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 ding.
And log off. So the defense of the Duke of Buckingham, it would be that he advised Richard III not to have the children murdered, and that's why he rebelled.
Or he was just working on the orders of his king. He couldn't not do what his king tells him.
Yeah, so he had to do this because he knew that Uncle Richard didn't want to have the kids killed under his watch.
Yeah.
Under his eye. Under his eye. Oh my God, was that a Handmaid's Tale
yes,
reference?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Blessed it be the fruit.
I miss Handmaid's Tale.
I know.
So even though technically Buckingham could have executed the crime on his own, Richard III is going to be implicated on this because
I'm so on the fence.
He's pretending that these kids are alive up until 1485. Like, I'm on the fence too because it's like he's this king's right-hand shady lady.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not know about it? But at the same point, Richard III is like trying to cover up for it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Chilling or killing? What do we think?
I want to say killing, but I want to play devil's advocate and say chilling and say maybe he just had no idea.
I just really don't know. It is so hard because he was his right-hand man, but something inside me just tells me chilling. And then that's when he found out that Richard had the princes killed is what started the uprising.
Buckingham's rebellion, because he went to Henry VII at that point and was like, hey, let's overthrow Richard III because he killed these kids. And whenever that fell through, obviously.
Though I feel like if we were actually a trial, the jury would be out for a long time on this one because the information can go either way.
It really can. This one's like one of those that you could debate for hours. It'd probably be a hung jury a couple times.
So I don't know about Buckingham, but if I had to make a guess, I'm going to say chilling.
Yeah, me too. So there's also a theory that these crimes were committed by Margaret Beaufort and company. And by company, we mean Henry Tudor.
Her son, Henry.
Maybe you've heard of him. Yeah. So if you subscribe to this theory that Henry Tudor did it, then obviously Maggie B had to have known about it too, like in some form or fashion. So again, she would have been like a quote unquote accessory to the crime.
Right.
So you also have to take into account for this theory that history is always, like I said, written by the winner of the war. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Bathory is a good example. Like somebody literally came out to like ruin her reputation.
Yeah. That people, it may, for Elizabeth Bathory, it looked better if she goes down in history as this woman that ate virgins or whatever, then just like, she was kind of a bitch, but really the king owed her a lot of money, you know? So.
Yeah, so something like that. So let's just dive into this. This is probably the rabbitiest of rabbit holes that you mm-hmm. can go down.
And it's the newest. It's the newest popular theory, which just shows you how much people like fucking love this mystery, that it's like 500 something years later, and we're still coming up with new popular theories. I mean, this has always been a theory, but just in like the last 10 or 15 years, has it really gained traction?
Yeah, it really has. And it's really weird how it's done that.
Yeah.
So for Henry VII to be guilty of this crime, he would have to have committed this after his ascension to the throne in 1485. Let's just make that. That's an obvious statement.
Or, have people on the inside.
Yeah, but I really don't know if that would be likely due to the like how hardcore Richard III would have had them on lockdown. Mm-hmm. Is possible. That's always, you can't count anything out.
Margaret Beaufort was under basically house arrest at this time because of some treasony shit she did. And so she was under lock and key of her husband. So one of the theories is the husband acted like he was a staunch, like Richard supporter, and was like, I'm going to lock my wife up, but then really kept doing her dirty work for her because he was high up.
That makes sense. And I mean, she convinced Elizabeth Woodville that she's like, okay, the prince is already dead, honey. You got to accept this. So she's even using the mm-hmm. prince's deaths at that point as a leverage to be able to get Elizabeth Woodville and the other Yorks on her side.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it even adds to her being this, she also is a culprit in this. Like she could be someone that would consider this a crime, but she did it at the end of the day for her son, which is what, you know, mm-hmm. she's gone down in history for. She also, at that point, secured a marriage arrangement between her son, Henry VII, and Elizabeth of York, like we talked about in the Elizabeth of York episode. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Henry will be the king and marry Elizabeth's eldest daughter since the princes are dead and they'll rule England at that
point. Right.
So I'm just imagining, like, what would have happened if Henry VII strolls on up to the Tower of London, opens the door, and the princes are like, hey! And he's like, because that is basically would negate the entire treaty that he had with Elizabeth Woodville, mm-hmm. because that was mm-hmm. based on the premise that the sons were dead, and if the sons weren't dead
and also now he's not going to make Lizzie and her sisters legitimate again, because then that would make these boys legitimate again and the next kings. So this theory then would be that the princes were alive, and then Henry rocks up and sees them and then has them unalived.
Unalived, is that how we...
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like, assuming that Uncle Dick didn't just kill the kids, but
yeah.
this is a really nice theory where it's like, it makes sense because I'm going to keep driving it home. History is written by the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And if Henry Tudor would not have wanted blood on his hands, you know, he wouldn't have wanted people to know, hey, Elizabeth of York, I killed your brothers. Like, right. It's not a good way to start out a marriage.
Right.
So, had your brothers killed.
Also, you know, Henry VII didn't have a spotless record before. He has some problematic shit on his side, too. Richard III had an illegitimate son who some sources say he had that son killed. There was the Earl of Warwick, who was Elizabeth of York's first cousin. He put that guy in a tower and eventually had him killed. So it's not like Henry VII wasn't ruthless either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think like one thing that I would come to Henry VII's defense on is that at least he put like a group of investigators together to try to like research it. Whereas Richard III never did that. He like looked into like where they went. However, there are some sources that say those were just people that were in his back pocket and would say whatever he wanted. So that's always, every time there's a theory, there's like 100 ways to discount the theory. So I think that's why it's survived so long. So, you know, he's basically just trying to cover up by saying, oh yeah, I had investigators say that Uncle Dick did it.
And then also, you know, a lot of people point to how they treated Elizabeth Woodville after Henry VII took power. They basically just sent her off to a nunnery to like live out the rest of her life and like didn't really give her any money, didn't really let her be part of court life. There's one theory that she knew that Henry did something, and so that's why she's locked away. I think it's more likely that there was still like not a lot of love for the Woodvilles in royal life, and Henry was trying to clean up the mess from the Wars of the Roses. And if people didn't like the Woodvilles, let's kind of get the Woodvilles out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, the other theory is that he killed her, or I mean, he put her away in an abbey and locked her away because she found out that he had the princess in the tower killed.
Or his mother did, yeah.
Yeah, or his mother did. And she, at that point, was like, the fuck?
Right.
And then so they had to like put her away and shush her so that she didn't tell everybody. So, I mean, bottom line is like the winner of the War of the Roses writes history. So to kind of co-sign to this, you have to believe in that.
Totally.
So the defense of Henry VII is pretty...
He wasn't there.
It's not a far-fetched. Like, it just feels like whenever you go through this explanation of making Henry VII the murderer, it's like this really far-fetched idea. So it's like the defense of Henry VII will just be like, that makes no sense. He wasn't fucking there. He was not even present.
And the people that say, well, Margaret Beaufort was there. She was present. Like we said, she didn't have access to the princes. So she would have had to go. There would have had to been so many people involved in her conspiracy to get people into the tower to do away with the princes or move the princes or whatever, that it's just like once you add that many people into the conspiracy, it just seems so far-fetched to me.
Yeah, me too. Like, and another thing is like the boys have already been missing, you know. It's not like they were still alive. So Richard III, like we said earlier, had plenty of opportunity to show these boys in public to be like, here they are, they're safe, but he never fucking did. It also means that Henry Tudor would have killed these brothers right before he's getting married to Elizabeth York. And I just don't know, even ruthless people, I don't just see how that would not be something that would be told in history. Like, he just killed the brothers and married the oldest daughter. Like,
I know it's a very popular theory right now, and there are a lot of people who will die on this hill that Margaret Beaufort and Henry VII had the princes killed. And you are welcome to your opinion. We are happy to hear your opinion on it. I just personally, it seems like it just seems so far-fetched on both of their accounts.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but I always can play that devil's advocate and be like, but this is just because we were told this was how it happened.
Yeah.
Henry VII has spent so much of his reign trying to fight off people that claim to be Richie Rich, like Prince Richie Rich. And he wouldn't have had to do that if he knew they were dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
He wouldn't have paid off that dude. He wouldn't have had to squash all these things and have people go visit these imposters. And yeah, like you said, he spent so much time of his reign trying to squash these little Prince Richie Rich things, which I found interesting that the imposters only went for Richie Rich. But then I looked into it, and it's because Richie Rich was like not in the public eye as much.
Yeah, people didn't really know what he looked like.
He was easy. He was super easy to be an imposter to impersonate. So it just, to me, if I was chilling or killing on Henry VII, like, I really want something in history to pop up so that I can say killing, because then I can be like, whoa, that's some scandalous shit. Because that would be the coolest Queen's Podcast episode ever. Really be like, he actually did it.
Yes.
So, I mean, that would be really cool. But he's chilling.
I don't think that there's any way for them to examine the bones and tell us who did it at this point. But
I mean, if they examined the bones and they were like, whoa, this skeleton's from the 1500s, we could be like, okay, it wasn't. These are not even the princes in the tower. So I think there's benefit in either way you do it. There's benefit to them.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't think we will ever know who killed the princes in the towers. For Henry Tudor, Margaret Beaufort, I think chilling. I hope I'm wrong. I hope someday somebody is like, we found a letter from Richard III to somebody that's been hidden all these years. I hope something more evidence does come up one day. And if it does, you'll hear about it here on Queen's Podcast.
Yeah, I know. Because that, to me, that would be the most fascinating story.
That would be.
And that would be something that we would be like, oh my God.
Yes.
Love it.
Oh, well, Nathan, this was exhausting, but this was a great way to start off our first Patreon episode of 2021.
Yeah.
Holla. All right. Well,
listening, guys.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.